economic factors behind Egypt's unrest.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. From American Public Media in New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's already early afternoon in Cairo, and the huge anti-government protests continue. Many of the people calling for change are under 30, some recent college graduates disenchanted with Egypt's economy and the growing gap there between rich and poor. Marketplace's Scott Tong has more now on the economic factors behind the movement.
On paper, Egypt's economy is growing at a nice 5% clip and opening up to the free market. Big government is shrinking and foreign investors keep coming. But on the street, inflation is 12%. And Georgetown University's Samer Shahata says the vast majority of Egyptians aren't keeping up. And it's across the Arab world. Case in point, the young vendor in Tunisia who set himself on fire last month and died.
The gentleman who set all of this off, the 26-year-old high school graduate who resorted to selling fruits and vegetables in a stand, he is symptomatic of the condition of millions of people in the Arab world.
Millions who believe the riches have gone to a select few. Shahata estimates unemployment among college grads is 30%, and they're turned off by the notion of free market economy.
And I think what we're going to see in the future is a less enthusiasm, if not some hostility towards these kinds of policies.
For the moment, the situation for young people may get even worse. Many are employed in the tourism industry, which for now is standing still. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And the markets are watching your Egypt today. Let's do the numbers. Stocks are down around the world, more than 1% lower in Tokyo, about 0.5% down in London. Alpha Natural Resources announced over the weekend that it will buy coal producer Massey Energy. Massey had been under pressure to find a buyer after last April's coal mine disaster in West Virginia, which killed 29 miners. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow fell 166 points to close at 11,823. Well, on Wednesday, Rupert Murdoch and Apple executives will unveil The Daily. It's not a newspaper per se. It's a new multimedia publication that's being designed exclusively for the iPad, and it'll be available by subscription. From Silicon Valley, Marketplace's Steve Henn reports.
Like everything Apple touches, The Daily is being built in secret. But Damon Kisau, a digital media fellow at the Poynter Institute, went digging through the computer code on The Daily's website and found mock-ups of its front page.
With some fun headlines, Oprah's Biggest Gamble and A Bridge Too Far.
So The Daily's vibe sounds kind of like a national version of The New York Post. The publishing industry is just as eager to get a peek at The Daily's business model. It's sure to be the first publication available on iPad by subscription. What's not known is how its advertising model will work.
The Daily won't be running Apple's iAds, which are Apple's internal advertising service for their mobile devices.
Instead, News Corp will sell its own advertising. And if The Daily knows its subscribers, it could target ads to each person based on the time of day, even location. But if Apple keeps all of that information to itself, individually focused advertising will be impossible, and The Daily might end up looking a lot more like an old-fashioned newspaper than Rupert Murdoch would like. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions that can help to guarantee income for life. AllianzUSA.com. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Reputation.com, helping businesses and professionals monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation Defender is now Reputation.com.
It's pretty typical for businesses to make decisions based on what customers want. But for decades, the fashion industry has bucked that trend. Instead of the market driving fashion, fashion has driven the market. Now, as Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports, that's starting to change.
There are moments, flipping through dresses on racks at a store, when I see something truly terrible, like a really ugly barf brown dress, and wonder what in the world the designer was thinking. But soon, those fashion whiffs could become much less frequent as data mining comes to haute and not-so-haute couture.
The fashion industry in particular has been fairly closed for a while, I think. It's always been a little bit top-down.
Jess Lee is the co-founder of the fashion site Polyvore, which allows you to make collages of your favorite clothes. Think magazine fashion spreads, matching high and low-end fashion from all over the web. And when you choose to include that Prada blouse in your collage, maybe with that skirt from H&M, Polyvore keeps track.
A new Polyvore set is created every 3 seconds. So we're just sitting on a very large gold mine of data about products, what products people want, what brands are being used, what trends are on the rise.
All that data allows designers and buyers to see how potential customers interact and don't with their different styles. Designers can track performance of their brand on Polyvore's analytics site. They can also see what trends are doing well for other companies. And they partner with the site to run contests, encouraging people to style with their newest lines. And all the new data that's out there is really changing what fashion is. Marshall Cohen is a retail analyst with the NPD Group.
Fashion, which was always known as a very risk-taking and very avant-garde and forward business, has been pressured over the last decade to find new ways to be able to be just as profitable as any other area in retail.
Information generated by sites like Polyvore and other online fashion communities can help reduce risk, which means that in the future, that frumpy brown dress may not wind up on the 90% off rack or even getting made in the first place. But it also may become harder to find something really unique. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
And finally, Chinese state television broadcast a video last week showing off a new fighter jet. But to a lot of people, the footage of the new J-10 fighter looked pretty familiar. In fact, the shots of a missile destroying another jet in midair looked exactly like an explosion from the 1986 movie Top Gun. China Central Television hasn't admitted any wrongdoing, but the footage has been removed from the channel's website. You can always go to our website, marketplace.org, and check out our Midday Update podcast. It's also on iTunes. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Best guesses are that maybe 20% of Bolivians live in other countries, gone there to look for work. But ever since the financial crisis, those opportunities abroad have dried up.
Spain has deflated like a balloon. Employment has disappeared and many Latinos have been laid off and returned home.
I'm Kai Rizdal, trying to go home again. That's next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.